I could have stayed in Scotland and married a farmer. I met this glamorous yachtie in the south of France when we were both working in the super yacht industry. We would meet up in Florida or Monaco, and we even lived in China for a couple of years. Yet I still ended up married to a farmer. This is a running joke amongst my husband and I. This is the Respect the Beef podcast with Waikikahe Ranch, and this is the first episode, just an introduction into what I or what we are hoping to achieve with this podcast. One of mine and Scott's first conversations was about his dream to run a cattle ranch, but not just any cattle ranch, a ranch specializing in full blood Wagyu, grass-fed and finished and 100% ethical. As a former vegetarian myself, I'm very conscious about where my food comes from. I love meat, but I do not like the meat industry. Animals destined for our plate still deserve love and respect and a good life. It was actually a steak that broke me. I'd been a vegetarian for maybe a year, and we'd gone out for a family dinner, and my dad ordered a steak, and my mum ordered a steak, and my brother ordered a steak, and they just looked at me in expectation, and it was like, damn it, I am going to have a steak. So that was the end of my vegetarianism, but I was still super conscious of where my food came from. We lived in Scotland. We lived in the north of Scotland when I was growing up, and we moved to Perth when I was about 10. And I remember thinking I would much rather eat a pheasant that my dad or my brother had shot than go to the supermarket and buy factory farm chicken. And that was kind of like my first investigation and my first dabble into what else is out there. Anyway, let's go back to myself and Scott. So we met in 2005. That's when we had that first conversation about his dream to run a cattle ranch. He was currently the chief engineer on a privately owned luxury yacht, and I was installing his satellite communications gear. But fast forward 13 years, and in March of 2018, we moved to 501 acres in beautiful boundary country of British Columbia, Canada. For a Scot and a Kiwi, Canada was halfway between. This podcast, it's been an idea I've been mulling over for a while. We have so much to say and to share, and even more to learn, that our social media networks would get so bogged down, we would lose our main message, 100% grass-fed ethical beef. We like to say we have happy cows, and for the unfortunate few, they have one bad day on the way to freezer camp. It's funny how things work out and how life weaves and turns. The people we meet all have a part to play in the end result. The name Respect the Beef came about one fun evening in the lower mainland of British Columbia when we were out to dinner with our really close friends, Krista and Pinto Miramadi, and Krista's sister, Carol. We had an amazing evening. We just bought our first ranch, all of 6 acres in Aldergrove. Yet we started the dream of Waikikahe with 4 Hereford steers and some dairy cows from the auction. And all of us, we were so passionate about where our food comes from and the ethical treatment of animals destined for our plates. The wine had been flowing, the laughter coming freely when the phrase "respect the beef" was coined. We immediately bought the domain, and it has just sat dormant for the last 6 years. Waikikahe Ranch Limited was our 5-year plan that quickly became a 2-year plan when we found the perfect property near Grand Forks in British Columbia. If you don't follow your dreams, you'll spend the rest of your life wishing you had. This is us giving up everything to follow our dream, providing ethical, nutrient-dense local beef, and using regenerative farming practices to achieve this. What is regenerative agriculture, I hear you ask? Well, in simple words, everything begins with the soil. A rich, nutrient-dense soil grows rich, nutrient-dense grasses. And yep, you've guessed it, those grasses feed nutrient-dense beef. But what exactly is regenerative agriculture? That is one of the reasons for this podcast. I want to explore and provide you, in simple terms, the basis of regenerative ag and why we do what we do and the importance of it in the journey of sustainable ranching. We are all going to learn so much together. In 2019, we had the pleasure of hosting a clinic with the amazing Nicole Masters. I am going to have to apologize to Nicole now, as Scott literally had to force me to attend. I didn't think I needed to know. He was the soil and hay and pasture expert. I helped wherever he needed me to, but my strengths lie in the marketing and business and building of our platforms. Eventually, after lots of nagging, I agreed to attend one day, just one day, and it was one of the most eye-opening and eureka days ever. I ended up attending the whole clinic. I could not get enough. I couldn't learn enough. We bought her book. I downloaded the Audible versions. We had in-depth conversations with Nicole post-clinic over Mexican mules. She actually introduced us to Mexican mules, which is tequila, lime, and ginger beer. And now I have to say, we probably have a bottle of tequila in the fridge at all times. I drank the Nicolade and I was a convert. Regenerative agriculture was the way forward. Scott was right, but please don't tell him that. I hope that Nicole will chat with us on one of these podcasts and we can delve into this even deeper. The methods we currently employ are rotational grazing, where the cows are in one area densely grazing. We move them two or three times a day. Their organic matter is smushed in the earth with their hooves, their urine and excrement, contain high doses of nitrogen, which is great for our soils and make the grasses grow thicker and lusher. We'll also use a molasses solution to break down where they've bale grazed and also increase the sugar content of our pastures. We will add things like humate and boron and worm castings, all natural, no chemicals, to tickle our soils into switching on. I could go on and on about this, but this is just an introduction and what I hope to achieve with these podcasts and what they will be about. So we'll get to that all in good time. I could go on and on about monocultures and age-old methods we won't be practicing and soil as an organism and. But all of that will come later. So we are not organic. We are not registered organic and we probably won't ever go for organic certification. But that is not to say that we're not natural. Yes, we do vaccinate. We vaccinate all our cows. If a cow is sick, we do pull them out and give them vet care. They do get pain relief or they do get antibiotics. But then they're then pulled out of the food circle and they're not put back in until the life of those antibiotics has been flushed out of their system. The organic is... When people ask me if we're organic, I have this whole spiel already written out that I just cut and paste. Basically, you can have a cow in a feedlot on organic grain with organic fence posts and organic measures are taken. And it could be the most miserable cow in the whole wide world, but it's organic. Whereas our cows are out on, we have a 6,500 acre range and we have 500 acres of home pastures, and they roam and they get scratches. Like, we can walk into our field and the cows run at us. They don't run away from us. It's like a stampede, and they come for scratches and snuggles, and we even have a couple of the kids ride. Like, they are super, super happy. So no, we are not organic, but we are natural and we are ethical. So another reason why I was really keen to try and get this podcast established and try and do a podcast was, being a beef producer and a local meat producer, we are bombarded by meat-free this and Beyond Burgers and meat is bad and beef is bad and cows are the enemy, like cows are bad for the environment. And people are hanging on to this. They're hanging on to this information that if everyone stops eating beef, the world will be a better place. And it's just not true. I even was getting so mad about this. And Scott was laughing and joking, saying that I'm turning into his little mini activist. But I was getting so mad that I called Canada Beef. I called Canada Beef and said, look, what is happening? How can we stop this? Or how can we... educate people that this isn't actually correct. And I have been speaking with them and we've been emailing. And if you follow our page or if you follow this podcast, we will delve into that in a bit more too. But as this is just the introduction, I just wanted to go over a couple of things. That in Canada, this is just statistics for Canada. In Canada, the Canada beef production accounts for only 2.4% of greenhouse gas emissions. 2.4%. That is tiny. Garbage and wastewater is 4%. Other agriculture is 6%. Industrial manufacturing is 7%. Leaks and unintended emissions is 8%. Transportation is 28%. And burning fuel for heat and electricity is 45%. These are statistics that were actually put out by Canada Beef in conjunction with an environmental campaign for ducks and waterways, in that cattle is actually helping wetlands and forestry and grasslands. So I'm just going to repeat that again. Canadian beef production accounts for only 2.4% of greenhouse gas emissions. That isn't evil or ruining our environment. Even in the USA, which they have way more feedlots and a hugely bigger populace than Canada, they're only at 3.2%. So it is not, cows and cattle are not damaging our environment. We'll go into it a bit more in future episodes, but cattle actually has a negative carbon footprint because of the organic matter that they put back into the soil. It's called carbon sequestration, that they have a negative carbon footprint. My goal here is to help other ranches, help support local producers. We are one ranch and we provide beef from Vancouver, which is on the coast of British Columbia, to Nelson, which is in the interior. We process 10 to 15 cows a month and we deliver twice a month. But there are ranches like us all over and we want to bring them to you wherever you may be. Maybe you want to start your own homestead or your own ranch and we can help you. We can answer your questions and provide a forum for you to learn and absorb all this amazing information. I have other ranchers lined up and we'll be having chats about them and what they've learned and what their goals are and the message that they want to give out to their customer base. We will be chatting to dietitians and nutritionists, to processors and hay growers, and I hope larger corporations who can help us all on this journey. If this speaks to you and you have someone we have to talk to, please let me know. You can message me via our Facebook page, which is Waikikahe Ranch, or you can email me at amy@waikikahe.ca. That's W-A-I-K-I-K-A-H-E-I. The details will be in the podcast blurb. I guess I should explain where the name Waikikahe comes from. So as you know, my husband Scott, he's a Kiwi, he's from New Zealand. And in New Zealand, they call the boonies Waikikamukau. And we really, really wanted that as a ranch name. But unfortunately, there's a ranch in Saskatchewan that already has it. So there's already a ranch called Waikikamukau. So because our last name is Hay, we kind of have a play on that and it's Waikikahe. So it was always this great talking point and the people are like, how do you pronounce it? And it's like, why kick a hay? And then say it really fast and mumble a wee bit like Scott and you get Waikikahe. But yeah, that's the name. I mean, it's not the easiest name to say or spell, but it's definitely recognizable. And people come and ask us and they talk about it. And it's just this great conversation opener. Waikikahe Ranch. I am so excited to be doing this and I have great things planned and we are going to have a lot of fun along the way. Those of you who know me, would you expect anything less?